You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom life. We're surrounded with the message that it's the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it is hard and full of lots of servitude, the idea that motherhood means a joyless life is something I'm passionate about putting a stop to. I'm on a mission to help you stop counting down the minutes till bedtime. At least most days. I want you to stop cleaning up after your kid's childhood and start being present for it. Start enjoying it. I believe in John 10:10 that we are called to abundant life, and I know mothers are not excluded from that promise. Join me in conversations about simplicity, minimalism, and lots of other good stuff that leads to a life of less for the sake of enjoying more in your motherhood. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show. Ladies, I'm just popping in before we dive into this episode with Sheila to let you know that this episode has some really poor sound quality on Sheila's end. Before I have any guests on my podcast, my team does everything that they can to just kind of let them know what they can do to make sure that the quality of sound on their end is the best it can possibly be. But unfortunately, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And in today's episode, the quality on Sheila's end is just really poor and fuzzy, and it's hard to understand what she's saying. So if it's bothering you and you just can't take it and you'd rather read the episode, or if you just rather skip it and read it anyway, I have a transcriptionist who transcribes each and every podcast episode for my deaf community, and also just for those who'd rather read it instead of listen. So if you go to alicasaza.com/show notes, /18, that's 1-8, you will be able to just read through the information in this episode instead of trying to bear through the poor sound quality. I'm so sorry. Sometimes it just is what it is. But this episode is so good, and I really encourage you to find a way to get around the sound quality if you can just bear through it and it doesn't really bother you and you can just listen to it. That's great. If you'd rather read it, please just find a way to take in this content. I feel like whenever there's a really, really, really amazing guest, there's just always kind of an attack by the enemy on the episode or on the content. And this is one of those cases. Sheila's advice and wisdom is just earth-shattering stuff. It's so, so good for marriage. So I really want you guys to get this content. So either listen to it or go to the show notes and read the episode. Again, that's alicasaza.com/show notes/18-1-8. And that's where you can find the transcriptions. I just wanted to let you guys know, this conversation is definitely not for tiny ears. This is a mom's only discussion. We're talking about lots of adult things and marriage things, and I just don't want you to get caught getting asked a tough question from listening to this on speaker with your kids around. So pop your headphones in and enjoy this episode alone. But I am so, so seriously thrilled to be recording with Sheila. I really, really think you guys are going to love this episode. So make some space for yourself, pop your headphones in, and enjoy this one. Hey guys, welcome back to The Purpose Show. I'm here with Sheila Rae Gregoire.
Is that very good.
Okay.
Very
good. That's what I thought. I meant to ask you before, but forgot. So that could have been awkward. But I'm super glad that you're here. Sheila is, oh my gosh, an author of so many books, like 10 books, something like that. A lot of books.
I don't even know. I think it's 8 or 9.
Yeah, a lot of books. And you have, she's also a course creator. She's a blogger, an amazing author. Some books that she's written is The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, 31 Days to Great Sex. You have a course about boosting your libido. Sheila talks so freely and in such a refreshing way about marriage and intimacy and having great sex and prioritizing that and just opening up this, I think, could be awkward topic in such a, you just do it in such a refined way. I love you so much. I've loved you for so long. So I'm so glad you're here. So welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. So why don't you just start by just saying a little bit about yourself and your life, and then we'll kind of just dive in.
Yeah. So I blog to love, honor, and vacuum. And when I started blogging, I was really talking more about parenting and general women stuff. And then I found that every time I talked about sex, like my traffic took off. and then I wrote the first book on sex. And now I find like it's the big thing I'm known for, which is really kind of ironic because it was actually the hardest part of our marriage when we first got married. So I kind of laugh at myself a lot at the places that life takes you. But
yeah, I
blog all the time. Our kids, we're empty nesters now, so that's a new situation. And my youngest daughter is actually getting married next month, so we'll have both daughters married off. And so yeah,
so fun. Well, congratulations! Yeah, that's such a neat. It's so funny to be talking to you in that season, and I'm like way on the other end, like 1,000 kids, and they're so little, and yeah. So, and side note, guys, Sheila and her husband have done like camper living and traveling and all of that. And, you know, we've done that with our kids. So it was kind of cool to see that you guys are into that and you love to travel. And I'm sure it's so much easier on that end with no kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk today just about, I don't know, I just wanted to have Sheila here to kind of give us this relaxed conversation about how to prioritize sex and marriage, especially when there's kids, little kids. And I mean, I'm sure you get asked all the time, but just the exhaustion that comes with that, just the, it's such a emotional and like mindset thing for women. And it's, the day is so like, you just feel grabbed at all day. It's so hard. And so where I'm just really excited. I get asked about this a lot and I always am just, I don't know what to say. So I'm really glad that you're here. Okay. So what do you suggest, just starting like right out the gate, what would you suggest to women who just feel like I just said, like life is so busy, and they love their husbands, but the fact is that if they're honest, sex has just kind of become the last priority. And it's just, it's so hard if you're just not feeling it. Like, what would you say about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Here's the thing that most women don't understand. Most women do not get how our libidos work at all. And it makes sense why we don't. Because if you watch any movie, any TV show, anything at all, there's a certain plot when it comes to sex. And it goes something like this. Okay, so the two people are together and they start to pant. And then they kiss and then they take off their clothes and then they end up in bed. That's always what happens, no matter what it is, right? They're panting. And then they kiss, and then the clothes, and then the bed. So that's what we figure sex is, right? It's pant, kiss, clothes, bed. And so there you are at home, and you're waiting to pant. And nothing's happening, so you figure that you're just not in the mood, right? But actually, that's not the way that our sex drives work for women. There's a woman named Rosemary Abbott who did this like huge study out of the University of British Columbia. And what she found was that for men, arousal preceded making love. Okay, so they were already ready to go before they started. And for the life of me, I don't know why anybody would have to do a research study on that, because that was blatantly
obvious. I was just going to say.
Like, seriously. But for the vast majority of women, like, they weren't aroused at all until they started. And so that's the big thing that I don't think we get, is like, for women, it's not like you're panting. And it's not like just because you're not panting, you're not in the mood. Yeah. You know, it's like our sex drives are almost entirely here, right? Like, for men, they're a little bit lower, okay?
But yeah.
Almost entirely here. And what you think is going to determine what your body does. And I think a lot of us, like, approach sex where it's nighttime and you're lying in bed and you're like, oh man, do I want to? Like, I don't know. He's probably expecting something. Like, what do I do? You know? And we go through this whole thing in our heads. And the stupid thing is, like, if we had just decided, I'm going to have an awesome time and I'm going to jump in, we would be asleep already. Right. But instead, we do this whole thing in our heads and we drive ourselves crazy. So I guess the big thing that I would tell women is you have to stop waiting to get in the mood, and we have to start getting a whole new mindset around sex, because sex isn't just going to happen if you're waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
It has to be something that you start looking forward to. And the only way to do that is to start realizing, like, sex is something for me. It isn't something that was just created for men. Like, sex is honestly something for me. Like, when you have sex, you sleep better. If you're exhausted, that's probably what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you feel closer to your husband. You even get fewer colds the more sex you have. Okay. So,
I mean, if nothing else, do it for the colds, guys.
Exactly. You know, and so we have to stop with this whole idea that when I'm in the mood, then I'll have sex. And instead saying, you know what? I darn well deserve this. Like, I have been running around after everybody else all day. I deserve to have an awesome time. And just go into it with that attitude and tell your body what to feel instead of waiting for your body to feel something.
And what a huge blessing for our husbands, too, on their end with the typical, like, oh, I'm waiting. I heard we were out with friends the other night, and the other husband said something like, goodbye sex tonight or something like that, because he made like a joke and she got upset. And it was like the whole, just the typical relationship of the man and the woman. Like, what a blessing for us and also for them if that's our attitude. If we switch it and we're like, yeah, I deserve to have an amazing night. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such so neat.
You deserve it. Yeah, like it's supposed to be something which is awesome.
Yeah, instead of using it as like this weapon, like you get it if you behave or you get it if I'm in the mood. And it's just, it breeds this unhealthy, weird power balance that can't be good for us.
No, and I think we forget too, you know, like sex is not just physical. I think we tend to see sex, because that's the way our culture portrays it, right? That sex is all about, you know, getting your needs met, and it's about this physical urge, and, you know, he just needs sexual release or whatever.
Yeah.
But really, like, sex is actually a deeply intimate experience, you know, and it's, and couples, this is kind of funny, like, when I wrote The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, I did this massive survey of thousands of women, and what I found was that the magic years for sex and marriage are years 16 to 24.
So really?
It's like a decade and a half after you get married, you know, you feel totally comfortable with each other. You're totally feeling a lot, like you can let your hair down, you can be totally vulnerable, you know each other inside out, you've probably seen each other on the toilet. Like, once you see each other, like, you can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The kids are all sleeping through the night by then, you know, you're not quite as tired. And that's when sex starts to really work. Like, that's when things really click for a lot of people. And I think it's because you feel so close. Like, we have this mistaken idea that the best years for sex are in your early 20s or like in the honeymoon years. And it's not. It's when you feel really close, because it's intimacy that makes sex feel really great. Like, it all feeds each other.
Right. Yeah, that makes so much sense. And that's also a very hopeful finding for those of us who aren't there yet. I mean, it's just like in your head, and I think maybe just a societal thing, but you just think like, oh, the older you get, the worse everything gets. So if it's not going very well now, like this is just going to keep sucking my whole marriage. You know, it's just, you know, it's, and it's so the opposite. We're in the hardest season. I mean, most of my listeners are where I'm at, you know, or even younger. And it's so hard sometimes because the elements are out of your control. The babies are waking up and you're pregnant and you feel seasick all the time. And it's just a weird, yeah, things are leaking that shouldn't be. And it's just like a very weird, awkward, unsexy season in a lot of ways, and then you can work around it, and you know, sure, it can be great, but it's so helpful to know, like, wow, even though, you know, I feel so close to my husband and we have a great relationship, the best is yet to come. I love that. I love that you shared that. Okay, so you talked about libido, and I know you have a full course on this, and we'll link to that in the show notes for you guys. But what can you give us a few tips on handling, like, if you feel like you do have a low libido, and even getting to that mindset of like, I deserve this. Like, what if you just don't want to? Like, what would you say about the libido thing?
I think libido is really a use it or lose it thing. You know, when we get into the habit of not having sex, it really is difficult to get back into the habit of having sex. And a lot of that is just because we get so busy. And so sex comes last on the to-do list, and it just seems like a major imposition. And when we think about it that way, it's really hard to get in the mood. It's hard even to know how do you initiate sex? If you've been turning him down a ton, and then you often get into this dynamic where he stops asking because he doesn't want to beg, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm only talking about cases where she has the lower libido, but in about 30% of cases, he actually has the lower libido. So maybe we can talk about if it's reversed too. But for those who do have the lower libido, you know, I would say that it really, sometimes you just need to take a look at your life and ask what your priorities are. Like, I got a comment left on my blog yesterday by a woman who said, okay, look, I work full time. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. My husband works full time. My life is spent like making meals and running errands and doing groceries and taking the kids to all their activities. And I don't like to have sex unless I feel pretty. So like, I need to have a shower. I need to shave. I need to put on perfume. I need to look good. And I don't have time for any of that. And so how am I supposed to have sex? I don't have time for that. And I'm looking at this and thinking, okay, yeah, but what are your priorities?
Well, and that's such a list. Like, it would never happen if that was my list.
And I understand that laundry needs to get done and groceries need to get bought. But if you're in a situation where you literally do not have time to do the things that you need to do to make your marriage work, you got a problem. And you need to do something about that problem. Mm-hmm. Because if your kid who's four is going to karate once a week and swimming once a week, your marriage is worth more than a four-year-old enjoying a karate lesson. Mm. Okay? Like, a four-year-old's karate lesson doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay?
And maybe you need to figure out ways to get your husband involved in doing some grocery shopping, or so it's not all on your shoulders. Like, maybe we need to look at how we do life. But you can't be in a place where you have time for everything except for your marriage. It doesn't work. And what your kids really need is for you and your husband to be together. Like, they need a rock solid marriage way more than they need extracurricular activities.
Sure. Yeah. And that's where the priority thing comes in. What do you want? This or that? And I think too, there's this idea, like I was just talking about this with my husband the other day, as we're getting into our 30s, friends that got married around the same time as us are getting divorced and things are splitting apart. And we've seen it recently. So we're just talking about, you know, the sadness of losing a couple friends and like having to, who do you hang out with now? And it's weird. And he was saying, you know, it's, when you don't, you like expect that it's just going to be there and you're not cultivating that friendship, that intimacy, that I like you. I don't just like love you and we have a life together and whatever, you know, we're just doing this thing together and you're always going to be there. It's like, I really like you and I'm enjoying you and I want to be with you and cultivating that relationship. I think it's just so sad how a lot of the time, and I mean, I've been there. We just kind of fall into a season of like, oh, you're just there. And, you know, we're just doing life together, but, you know, cultivating that, like, I really like you. I love you and I like you and I want to be with you. I think it's so important. And then the sex just kind of follows right after that.
Yeah. Honestly, most women, if you talk to them, will say that their marriage is a priority. But if you look at their time, it's not.
Yeah.
And so, ladies, I just want to say, if you're listening, if you think your marriage is a priority, then you got to make it a priority. Like, you got to live that out.
Mm.
And I know life is busy, but that's also a choice.
Yeah.
You know, it is a choice. And
sure.
If you make one of those seasons where, like, you're working opposite shifts and it's just impossible and you're trying to balance daycare and money is really tight, I get it. Okay. But then make like a 5-year plan so that you're not going to be here forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not sustainable and you got to get a life where you can enjoy it. Maybe it means downsizing, going back to an apartment because at least you didn't have the bills. You know, I don't know what it is, but you know, if you want your marriage to last and if you just want to have fun and enjoy your husband and not be stressed, then you got to think differently about how we do money and activities and all this other stuff that comes in the way.
Yeah, if there's a season that's so difficult that you can't even prioritize your main relationship other than the Lord, I mean, is that how you're planning to stay there? Like, it should be a season, not how you're doing life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey friends, it's Allie. Have you heard of the Supermom Vault yet? The Supermom Vault is a library of inspiration that I created for you. It holds replays of my very best online workshops that aren't available anywhere else, tons of really actionable PDFs that are downloadable with just one click, more than 20 audio and video trainings from me, and professionally designed printables for your home to keep you focused and inspired. The Supermom Vault is only $39 and it's available at AllieCasaza.com/all courses. So check it out. It's a really good, simple start. If you want more inspiration than just the podcast, you wish there were more episodes, you want to get more detailed, you want video, you want PDFs, you want to download things and kind of get your hands on something to really get you started when it comes to minimalism and simplifying your motherhood, this is definitely the place to go. So AllieCasaza.com/all courses and check it out. Okay, so I wrote a note so I wouldn't forget. I want to come back to the reverse libido problem. So if it's the husband who's having that issue, what do you say? Because the listeners are women. So what do we do if that's our situation?
Well, first of all, you got to figure out why. Because it could just simply be that you have a higher libido than normal and he has a lower libido than normal and it's perfectly normal.
Yeah.
And in that case, you just talk about it. right? And the way he talked about it is, don't talk about how we don't have sex enough, because the way he'll hear that is, you're an animal, like, and you can't resist your urges, and you're kind of pathetic. So you don't want to say that. What he's going to say is, you know, I just want us to have a really intimate marriage, and I think God created us for a lot more, and I think we're missing out on it. And can we talk about, you know, how to really live with passion and with adventure and live a big life? And that's a better way to phrase it. However, in a lot of cases, when he has a low libido, it's not that it's normal. There could actually be something going on. And that's where you really need to take a look. It could simply be like health issues or stress at work, or, I mean, tons of antidepressants cause low libido. And so, you know, you might have talked to the doctor about that. But the number one reason is porn use. And it's really sad, but we need to get real about this stuff. And sometimes it's not even that he's using porn right now. Like, if you think about it, if you're an 11-year-old, 12-year-old boy, because that's when porn use is often starts, that's when they first get exposed, and they're starting, these little boys are starting to have sexual feelings, and then that feeling is paired with an image or a video or whatever it might be. And not to get too graphic, but usually things are done watching porn so that sexual release is actually paired with that image of it. And that cements something in your brain, so that your brain is rewired so that what's arousing is that porn instead of a person. And then even if you stop watching porn, like even if they've gone through the battle and they stopped it, they get married and she's not porn. And so he might totally love her, but he's not necessarily aroused by her. And so that's when, you know, you really got to get to the root of it and start rewiring the brain back the way God intended, so that sex becomes about intimacy and not about anonymity and weird stuff and something new constantly. Porn. And it is a difficult thing. So I would just say, just make sure that's not a factor, because it is for so many men, especially, you know, in their 20s and 30s right now.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up. Absolutely. It's very sad. And it's such a, everyone does that. Who's not looking at that? It's very sad. Okay. So, my last question for you is, I wanted to know what you would say to maybe the wife who's been emotionally hurt. There's been a lot of marriage trouble. Definitely not talking about like physical abuse at all, but just a lot of emotional pain and just a rocky marriage. Maybe she's just feeling really resentful. And like, I recently spoke to a friend who was just like feeling like there's such a wall, and you know, it's hard without God, because he can only help you break those things down. And she wasn't in that place. But, what would you say about when emotions, and past hurt just is really kind of getting in the way of being able to open up and be intimate with your husband?
Well, first of all, like you said, there's a big difference between, you know, emotional abuse when a guy is actually trying to control your behavior, or, you know, not letting you have certain emotions. Like, let's put that aside for a minute. And if you are going through that, please see a counselor. Please get some help. Yeah. That's not normal, okay? But if it really is that you guys have really become very disconnected, and he doesn't seem to want to listen to you, he doesn't seem to share his heart at all, you know, you're living in the same house, but you feel like you haven't connected whatsoever. And I think an important principle that women need to get is that men tend to make love in order to feel loved, whereas women need to feel loved in order to make love.
So funny that that's right? The design.
Yeah. And that can seem like a recipe for disaster, because then if you're feeling disconnected, what he wants to do is he wants to fix that bridge by making love, whereas she has no interest whatsoever until we emotionally connect. And so I would say that there's really a two-step process. The one is just recognizing that when you do make love, we tend to feel closer. There's actually a biological basis for that. You know, when you make love, you produce the hormone oxytocin, which is the same hormone you produce when you're nursing your baby. It's the bonding hormone that makes you feel really close. And so it's why, like, after you make love, for the next day or two, you tend to be more affectionate with him. Like, you laugh more and you giggle. Like, just the tension level comes way down.
Yeah.
And so there is a lot of tension in your marriage. You know, just making love more often can actually bridge a lot of that gap that we may not understand. So that's part one, is just saying, I know it seems like the last thing you want to do, but try to throw yourself into it. Try to remember how much you love them. Try to remember how much you want this marriage. And you might find that even that process of throwing yourself into it actually starts to bridge a lot of that gap that you feel. Yeah. But the second thing is, you know, your emotional needs do matter.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling distant, you do need to address that. And it doesn't always need to be this huge marriage makeover. Like, one of the very, very simple habits my husband and I started a couple of years ago when he was working out of town a lot, so we weren't always home, was like every day we would still connect and we would share what was the high point of your day and what was the low point. Like, what was the moment where you felt most in the groove when God was working, and what was the moment where you were just the most discouraged? And we would share that with each other. Because you know when you say to your husband, so what did you do today? And he's like, well, that's impossible. Like, how am I supposed to tell you everything I did today? Like, and he's thinking in his head, like, what do you really want to know? Well, just telling the two emotional things, that makes you feel like, okay, I know where he is emotionally. And then he knows where I am emotionally. And if I don't happen to know where he ate lunch and what he got for lunch and how many sales calls he went on, it doesn't matter. Because I know emotionally what's going on with him. It's such a simple thing. It takes like 10 minutes a day, but you feel a lot more connected. And a lot of guys can handle that much easier than the question, you know, so how was your day? Because they don't know what to say to that.
Right. And they're exhausted and you're expectant. And I love the idea of just like what was like kind of like the high and low, because it's just a really great emotional gauge for you to not expect much of him, but be able to, I mean, you can totally tell where he's at by answering that question. I love that. It's such a good idea. That was a very like simple, practical. I feel like that was a really good place to end too. So yay. Thank you so much. Where can people find you if they want to read more? I mean, you have one of those blogs that's like, it's been there for so long. I mean, like probably like 10 years or so. I think
2008, I think.
Yes. Yes. You put that on your questionnaire. Yes. So it's overwhelming in a good way. There's so much, but, I'm going to link to the blog post that you shared was a really good one, but just share your link and where you're active on social media so people can connect with you if they want to.
Yeah. So it's tolovehonorandvacuum.com. And tons of stuff about sex, about marriage. If you go on the sidebar, there's my top 10 posts for the day. Those are usually a good place to start because they're the big ones. And then you can find me on Twitter, on Pinterest, anything with just Sheila Gregoire. So that's great. I got a lot of stuff there too. And I do have my Boost Your Libido course, which is perfect for anyone who has been really tracking with what we're saying now. And I'm going to give you guys a coupon code that you can put in for everyone who's listening. And click on over and use that coupon code and let's start getting this right, because you deserve this. Okay. You were made for this. So don't settle for anything less.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Okay. So we will link to all of that in the show notes, guys, just aliecasaza.com/show notes and find this episode 18, and it'll all be there for you guys. So thank you so much for being here, Sheila. I so appreciate it. This was great.
Awesome.
This was an episode of The Purpose Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're ready to up-level and really take action on the things I talk about on my show, head to aliecasaza.com for free downloads, courses, classes, and to learn more about what the next step might look like for you. I'm always rooting for you. See you next time.